Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned in to Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I am so excited that you have joined me on today. Why don't you just grab your Bible and come right on in and make yourself right at home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad therein. I am so excited for you and all that God is getting ready to do in and through your life. Truly, the Bible said, this is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad. Just want you to know that we have another glorious lesson on today, and our lesson is kept by the peace of God. Truly, we live in a time where there is turmoil throughout the world and many things that are swiftly transpiring and a lot of changes is happening throughout the world, and we just need the peace of God, and being kept by that is just an awesome blessing to be able to be in the presence of God and know without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is ours and we can be kept by the power of God. And so on today, we're going to be looking at a couple of passages of scripture. I pray you have your Bible close by and ready to just dive right into the Word of God on today. But before we go there, I just wanted to acknowledge all of my listeners that are out there that are tuned in, Sister Barbara and people from all around the world. I just want you to know I greatly, greatly, greatly appreciate all of you and my covenant partners and covenant prayer partners. Truly, God is doing something phenomenal in the world, and this is some of the best of time, even though it seemed like it is the worst of time with all these transitions happening. But look up and live, because our redemption draweth nigh. And so on today, I want to look at Philippians chapter number 4, verses number 1 through 10. And some of our scripture reference is going to be found also in addition to this, Psalms 100, verse number 4, Isaiah 54, and verse number 10. And I want to read those two in your hearing as we start off. And let's look at Psalms 100, and we'll go back to Philippians in just a moment. Verse number 4, it states, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. Isaiah 54 and verse number 10 reads on this line, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall my covenant of peace be removed, said the Lord, that have mercy on thee. Truly today we're just looking at a time where the peace of God is such a blessing to abound in and to have in and through our life. So let's take a look as we look at our next passage of scripture where we'll be focusing our lesson on today, which is in Philippians chapter number 4, verses 1 through 10. And it reads on this line, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Epaphras and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellows, help those women which labor with me in the gospel with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and that the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me have flourished again, wherein ye also was careful, but ye lacked opportunity. So far, the reading of our scripture text for today, and the first focus verse that we'll be looking at is Philippians 4 and 7. And it reads on this line, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. So let's take a look here and look further into the scripture in regards to this particular text on today. The action of Jesus gave us wonderful definition of peace. The scripture over in Mark chapter number 4, verse 39 states, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Great tranquility resulted because the Prince of Peace was present. He can calm any storm, no matter how great the winds or the waves. On the other hand, another form of peace that Christ provides is a greater power. Sometimes he does not calm the storm, but he calms us while we're in the midst of the storm. Jesus stated, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. John 16 and 33. Indeed, the world we live in is filled with violence, iniquity, and wickedness. But God give us peace while we are in the storm. The catastrophic and immeasurable devastating events by the terrorists, even on September the 11th in 2001 in the city of New York and Washington, D.C., and in the rural area of Pennsylvania, will forever live in infinity. Many have not understood that a religious war was openly declared that day. In the spirit realm, this war has been going on since God expelled Lucifer from heaven for disturbing the peace through his self-will and rebellion. He has been causing turmoil in the lives ever since that time. But in Jesus, one can experience peace in the midst of the storm. God has a future plan and design for planet Earth where Jesus will reign from the throne of his father, David, in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. The character of his reign and the kingdom will be that of peace, for Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Interestingly, the United States has its scheduled Tuesday, September the 11th, 2001, to be declared the International Day of Peace, not knowing that skyjackers would commanders four jumbo jets and use them as guided missiles for the destruction of thousands of human lives and property on that day. The total destroy Twin Towers in New York, designed by American architects, were built in 7 years at a cost of nearly $1 billion. They eventually became one of New York's best-known landmarks, rivaling the State of Liberty, the Statue of Liberty, and the Empire State Building. The chief architect had an expansive vision for the project. World Trade means world peace, and consequently, the World Trade Center is a living symbol of man's dedication to world peace. The architect said, however, as we was the same was the case with the Titanic, so it is with the Twin Towers of New York and the Pentagon. In the moment of time, the frailty of human mankind and the uncertainty of human peace became all too clear. Only in Christ Jesus is there available true and lasting peace. Now let's take a look here. We're going to look at the peace in the church and maintaining harmony as fellow Christians. And then we're going to look at next, helping fellow workers in Christ. God desired that each born-again believer strive for peace. However, this is not peace at any price, whether it is the tranquility that comes by the virtue of truth and righteousness. Paul wrote in Romans 14 and 17, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Righteousness, peace, and joy are the earmarks of the kingdom of God, products of the submission and obedience to truth. Now let's take a look at Deuteronomy chapter number 6, verses number 24 and 25. It reads on this line, "And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive, as it is at this day, and it shall be our righteousness, if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us." Again, that's Deuteronomy chapter number 6, verse 24 through 25. Now, let's look here at maintaining harmony as fellow Christians or children of God. In his first letter to the Corinthian church, Paul stated, "But God hath called us to peace," 1 Corinthians 7, verse 15. In verse 17 of the same chapter, he added that he taught the same principle in all churches, 1 Corinthians chapter number 7, verse 17. Evidence of this statement is found in Paul's letter to the Ephesian church, Ephesians 4, verses number 1 through 3. And it reads on this line, "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, and with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." To properly maintain peace and harmony among members of the body of Christ, there must be submission and obedience to the head of the body, which is Jesus Christ. A person's foot has no conflict with his hand when there is cooperation or coordination with the brain, when there is coordination with the brain. Likewise, the ear have no conflict with the eyes due to their both being connected to one administrative source. If every member in the church is connected to the head, Jesus Christ, and is in proper submission to the pastoral authority, all can function properly in a peaceful and harmonious atmosphere. Now, Eudyces and Syntyche, apparently leaders in the church at Philippi, had a problem between themselves that caused the Apostle Paul to say to them, "I beseech you, Epaphroditus, and I beseech you, Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord." Now, when you're working together in the body of Christ, it is imperative that we have the same mind. And this is what Paul was talking to these two particular leaders at the church of Philippi and thing. He went on to say that he beseeched them, saying, "I need your attention. This is an important matter. I need to hear you to hear what I'm saying, that you must be of the same mind in the Lord." now in the Lord, doing the work of the Lord, having that same mind is so key and vital. It said the matter was of a magnitude that Paul specifically named them in the letter. Godly individual must be on guard concerning their influence among other members of the body. Older and seasoned Christians or children of God should be great examples to the younger believers in every church. And the younger ones shouldn't see or hear the people of God, the older ones, fighting with each other. But there should be harmony and peace among each other. Amen? Now, let's look at this next point. It says, helping fellow workers in the church. It is not particularly known whom the true yoke fellow was that Paul referred to in Philippians 4 and 3. This colleague was evidently a sincere laborer in the gospel to whom Paul had grown quite close to. Working alongside a person who genuinely loves the gospel bring about an immeasurable bond between the two. Paul also gave instruction for the church in Philippi to help those women who had diligently labored with them in propagating the gospel. In addition, he admonished them to also give help to Clement. All of these were wonderful Christians in Paul's eyes, for he stated that their names were written in the book of life. They evidently had admiration and commendation of the apostle for him to speak such good things of them. John wrote of the same caliber of believers in this third epistle. And you can see that in 3 John chapter number verses 5 through 8. And I'll read that in your hearing. Beloved, thou dost faithfully whatsoever thou dost to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of their charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentile. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. And so here he is saying that working together in that spirit of unity, harmony, and peace. Now, peace in the heart. The kingdom of God is not just church socials or cookout or mass barbecues. While these may be enjoyable and beneficial functions of the local church, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost should characterize every church activity and gathering. This can only result when each individual experiences personal peace in their heart. Now, I think that would be a good thing that we could pray and include and encompass when we pray in our individual prayer closet, and when we come corporately as a group to pray, as to asking God, Lord, lay your peace upon all of the children of God's heart, so that there may be harmony in your house and peace always will be abiding in the houses individually and yet collectively, because it is definitely a key for the children of God. Be joyful in the Lord. John stated in his epistle to the elect lady and her children, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth as we have received a commandment from the Father, 2 John 4. His greatest joy was not experienced when the saints was running the aisles or shouting and dancing during the worship service. His greatest and most satisfying joy came by knowing that the people of God was walking in truth. Every true minister and pastor feel great satisfaction and joy when the church members live in heart in accordance to the truth and as well as in harmony. John further declared in his short letter to Gaius, Beloved, I wish above all things that thy soul prosper, that thou may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testify of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. 3 John 2-4. Although John wanted Gaius to be in good health, his greatest thrill was experienced when he knew his spiritual children walked in truth. Now, Paul wrote, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe." Philippians 3:1. For some, hearing the same thing continually from the pastor become quite boring. Paul, however, encouraged the Philippians to rejoice in the Lord, even though they had heard the same truth many times. One must remember that truth never changes. Every child of God may greatly rejoice in the consistency and reliability and trustworthiness of truth. Paul wrote to the Philippians, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." Philippians 4:4. He was encouraging them to be joyful at all times, no matter what the circumstances. While one may experience a personal storm as a result of tragedy or illness, they may still experience the joy of the Lord in their heart because they have their name is written in the book of life. In every situation, a person can find joy from the presence of God's Spirit in his life. One should always be joyful. Now, let's take a look here at another point about this same peace in the heart. It said, be careful for nothing. In the Philippians 4:6, the word careful comes from the Greek word that means to be anxious about. Worry and anxious are among the leading causes of illness in America. If not resolved, they may even cause different kinds of physical ailment as well. Paul exhorted the Philippians to be anxious about nothing. Worry and anxiety destroy the element of truth in the heart of a Christian. Peter encouraged his reader to let God take the worry and anxiety upon him. 1 Peter 5-7, and it reads, "Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you." Now let's look at another point. Be careful for everything. Be prayerful for everything. Every person has the privilege of prayer. The writer of the book of Hebrews indicated that through prayer, one has the privilege of accessing Jesus, the high priest. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And you'll find that over in Hebrews 4:14-16. Now, Hannah, she served as a beautiful example for the state pages of scripture of one who took her burden and need to the Lord in prayer. Her womb was barren, a reproach in generation for a married woman to have no children was a reproach. She took the matter to the Lord in prayer with persistent faith. The Lord heard her prayer and answered by giving her a son that she would name Samuel, meaning asked of God. Faithless people do not pray. In Luke 18:1-8, Jesus taught his disciples to pray without fainting. He told the story of the widow's persistently going to the unjust judge until he finally avenged her of her enemy. Jesus wrapped the matter up by asking, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes to earth, shall he find faith on earth?" In this statement, he made it known that prayerlessness is born of faithlessness. On the positive side, however, persistent faith breeds persistent prayer, which always brings results. And that's why, and I will share with you, children of God, that one of the things that God emphatically spoke to my spirit, he shared with me, he said, "Helen, I will do it, but I will do it through the vehicle of prayer." And we must recognize it's through prayer that God is going to do it for the people of God as never before. We're going to see a mighty, mighty move of God. Now, Paul wrote to the Philippians, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Philippians 4 and 6. Christians should be people of prayer in everything, bringing petitions to God with thanksgiving. Now, let's look at another point, to be thankful for everything. This is another key element because we're living in a world and a time where people are thankless. They don't share. They don't turn back around and say thank you. Even when you're driving on the freeway, you let another person in or someone in, they don't even wave to say thank you like we used to do in the past. We will always be very courteous and kind. Well, we don't see a lot of that anymore, that kindness and being thankful. And let's see what the scripture and what the writer is saying about this. He said, although thankfulness is a missing ingredient in this generation, it should never be a missing ingredient in the life of a child of God. In fact, it should be a powerful, dominant force in the life of a believer as he or she experiences the goodness of the Lord. Paul stated in his second letter to Timothy that one of the signs of the last day will be that the unthankfulness of people, 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 2. It is amazing that some people cannot even say a simple thank you after receiving help or personal contribution. We must exercise great care to see that this attitude does not penetrate the church, for it could make crippling and indolence out of individuals who would otherwise be great spiritual achievers in the kingdom of God. Now, in Luke chapter number 17, Jesus was confronted by 10 desperate and ostracized lepers begging for mercy. He commanded each one of them to show themselves to the priest. After their departure from him, they did as he asked and were all cleansed and healed. One of these, after realizing that he was healed, returned to Jesus with a loud voice glorifying God. He, a Samaritan, fell down on his face at his feet of Jesus, giving him thanks. An outsider, a stranger to Judaism, was healed, but he returned to give thanks. This arrests the attention of Jesus, causing him to ask, where there was not 10 cleansed, where are the 9? They are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. Only one returned to give thanks and worship. How true that many receive blessing from God and never stop to give him thanks. And I want to just stop there and highlight that because that is just a profound thing for us as children of God. As we take a moment and just give God the praise after he has done something for us, we must offer praise unto God. The Bible said praises are commonly unto the saints. We must praise God. We must give God the praise, glory, and honor to what he have done in and through our lives. You know, the joy of the Lord is our strength, is our power, it undergirds us, it fortifies us. That wonder-working joy is so awesome. If anyone in this world should be filled with thanksgiving, it should be the born-again people of God. In the first epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, he exhorted, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse number 18. The will of God is for the believer to give thanks to the Lord in every situation of life. While one may not be thankful for the storm that they may be in, they can find something in the storm for which they can be thankful. Just knowing that God is with us is powerful in itself. And just knowing that God is walking by our side. An attitude of gratitude always brings peace, even in the, when you're in the midst of the storm. Now, let's take a look here at another thing here, the peace of mind. Now, in more than 370 universities and colleges in America, studies on world peace has flourished since the tragedy of Tuesday, September the 11th, 2001. In some university programs are required reading about the letter from Birmingham Jail by Martin Luther King Jr. Also for Antonio de Saint, the Little Prince. Also, Mohandas Gandhi, the story of the experiment with truth. And so here you have so many things that people are turning back towards peace. And even in the university are encouraging people's heart to go back to that place of peace or reading from great writers or great leaders about the work that they have done to promote and propel peace within the earth. And so here, even prescription and drugs together with the use of alcohol are all sought after by scores of people in this generation who are striving to find peace of mind. The tragedy of tragedies is that they cannot and never will find peace they are looking for through the mind-altering effect of alcohol, drugs, chemical, or illicit thrills of this world. Only when they come to the Prince of Peace can they find hope to find true peace. The Prince of Peace is the mighty God, the everlasting Father, whose name is Jesus. Isaiah 9 and verse number 6. Paul stated by divine inspiration in Ephesians 2 verses 13 through 17, that Jesus is our priest. And let's look at that. It reads on this line, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometime were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who have made both one, Jew and Gentile, and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments and contained in the ordinance, for to make of himself a twain, one new man, and so making peace, and that he might reconcile both Jews and Gentiles unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, the Gentiles, and to them that were nigh, the Jews. For through him we both, Jews and Gentiles, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And you'll find that over in Ephesians chapter number 2, verses 13 through verse number 17. The cross of Jesus Christ was a catalyst that brought the peace of God to both Jews and Gentiles in the body of Christ. When individuals humble themselves up under the mighty hand of God and submit to the cross of Jesus Christ, great fellowship results. Paul stated, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, verses number 7. Although one may not understand how it happens, God's peace is able to guard against emotions and thoughts. The peace of mind comes only through Jesus Christ. Now, peace by doing is another aspect that we will look at. A person who has peace of God in their heart and mind will manifest that same peace in their attitude towards others. Jesus stated, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." Matthew 12 and 34. Thus, the heart is an incubator of attitudes and actions. If one fosters a heart that is at peace with God and himself, his action will automatically reveal such. The psalmist stated, "Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace." Psalm 37 and verse 37. Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, who is the one, his words and his action were the product of peace that was deep within. However, on one occasion, he wept over Jerusalem. And Luke 19, verse 42 states, "If thou have known, even thou, at least in this day, the things which belongeth unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thy eyes." He came to bring them peace, but they could not see his purpose. Just as Jerusalem was spiritually blind to his purpose, so the understanding of this troubled world is darkened, and the people will only experience the peace of God after they receive true enlightenment in Jesus Christ. Paul revealed this truth in Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 19, and it reads on this line, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentile walk in the vanity of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feelings have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." And I think that that's something that we need to really be cognitive of and more want to find ourselves dabbling into or operating out of grief. And so let's be cognitive of that. And yes, God is going to bless us in abundance and things, and we want the abundance and things into our lives. But we must ask God to give us the discernment between his abundance and just greediness. And I think that as we examine ourselves, God will reveal it unto our heart and what to do with it when we find ourselves at that place. He may ask of you to do things, and he will bless you in things as you just go forward and allowing God to be God in your life. Now, it says here, Jesus' apparent purpose of giving peace to individuals seemed to be in opposition to his statement in Matthew chapter number 10, verses 34 through 39. And I'm going to read that in your hearing and things as to what the scripture has said. And it reads on this line, "Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword, for I am come to set men at variance against their father, and the daughters against their mother, and the daughters-in-law against the mother-in-law, and a man's foe shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. But and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. And we can see that this is very much a paradox, because when we look at this here, it's kind of contrast to our own humanity. And then here he says, you know, he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. And then now that seemed like odd, but is when you can find yourself so engulfed into the ministry or the work that God has given unto you, and you allowing yourself to move forward in God and in the things of God, and not being so much care and overly concerned about yourself and things. That's how we can lose ourselves in things, doing the work of the Lord, sacrificing, maybe looking at that television show, being in the house of the Lord and things, even during the time that your show is on, or giving time to be able to be in a session to hear from the Lord our God. And think those are losing our lives. We are losing and things because we want to do it another way, or the sacrifice that we make, even in our fasting and praying and things. These are other ways that we do and things that we make gain more of God and have a greater understanding. It said this statement regarding sending a sword instead of peace may at first glance appear to be a paradoxical. Jesus simply meant that the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, brings division between individuals. Now, I think that is so true. I was sharing with the saints a couple of weeks ago that, you know, you can be standing right next to somebody at your on your job, or even sitting by someone on your job or on the bus, or standing in the store and thing. And you may be, both of you may be living in totally different kingdoms. One may be in the kingdom of this world and the other one in the kingdom of Christ. And things, and we must recognize that's the division and things. Some are in the kingdom of God and some are in the giving themselves over into the hands of the adversary and things, or living in this world without God being on their conscience or in their mind. Hebrews 4 verses 12 give us insight to this principle. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunders of soul and spirit and of the joint and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. When a person submits to the truth and the principle of the Bible, the peace of God will follow. However, when one does so, division may result in their family, in the circle of friends, or even in their relationships. Even though this division may occur, one can still experience the peace of God in their heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Jesus stated in Matthew 5 and 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." The peacemaker is a lover of peace. Through obedience to the Spirit of God, the peacemaker works to bring harmony to every situation. Isaiah declared clearly, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he has trusted in thee." And we'll find that over in Isaiah chapter number 26 and verse number 3. Now let's take a look here and go back and explore this a little deeper. We just looked at kept by the peace of God. And we talked about the peace within the church and our part as to keep in peace. And we find over in Romans 14 and 17 state, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but here it is, it's but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." And so we must, as children of God, bear those fruit of righteousness, peace and joy, because those are the things that God gives us inside the Holy Ghost. Next, we talked about maintaining harmony as fellow Christians or a man or woman of God or children of God. We must maintain harmony among each other. And that's where sometimes we lay our lives down, too, for the sake of harmony and peace among each other, that we may dwell peaceably with each other. He says, as much as that lie in you, live peaceably among each other. And so sometimes we have to give up things, give up our rights, give up our opinions and even attitude, so that we can stay in the place of harmony and allow God to untangle those messes that sometimes the adversary used people to do. I remember God told me it was so. Rejoicing in one hand and then yet having your sword in the other. And we're having just a small little technical difficulty. We just wanted to check and make sure everyone is hearing. Okay, thank you very, very much. I have a button on my microphone here that I kind of pushed it. So please, I apologize there. I was talking what I was sharing about, and I'll go back over this point real briefly, how relevant it is for us to be in harmony and in relationships. Sometimes we find ourselves getting embroiled in things or things happen, or even the enemy is an accuser of the brethren, and we must recognize that. And I'll repeat this, what I say, because I think it's so important for us to know. God told me, he said, Helen, don't try to undo messes and things. When people try to say things against you or say you said da 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 or blah 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 and things, God said, don't go after that. He said, leave that alone. He said, because all it does is causes us to get further messy, or the thing to get even greater messier. Well, God said to leave it alone. He said that I will take care of it at the white at judgment time. On the day of judgment, I will untangle every mess. You go on and do my work. And so I come and I share this with you, that when you find yourself engaged, or when the enemy want to engage you into a mess or a thing that is really, really can be detrimental, step back from it and give it to God. And just say, you know, we're just going to pray about it, and I'm just going to give it to the Lord. And let God be true and every man a liar and things, and I'll just give it to God. And what God will do, he will allow his peace to come back upon you, and that you can go on in genuine peace and joy and doing the work and the will of the Lord. The other thing that God shared with me, and I just want to bless you, because these things were very helpful for me and very relevant. God was sharing with my heart is to always keep in my heart a spirit and a song of praise constantly within my heart and things, so that the enemy cannot penetrate that place of peace. Because what the adversary do, he'll use something so minute to cause you to be brought out of that place of peace. And that's where he can come and attack you and say, oh, I thought you was a Christian. I thought you was a child of God. You just like the rest of them, nothing but a big hypocrite. And that's what the adversary wants to say. Some things are not even worth fighting, or you can choose your battle. And if you see something that is happening and that comes and try to attack you and attack your character and attack even your motives towards God, what we have to learn to do is to step back and say, oh, I'm not going to mess with that. I'm going to give that to Jesus and roll it upon his shoulders and let him deal with it. And once you begin to do that, I believe that that's where the greatest victory comes, because the adversary did not pull you from your place of peace, of hiding up under the shadow of the Almighty. See, you didn't come out from the shadow. You stayed up under the shadow of the Almighty. And that's where God wants us to be, quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. And these things are key for us as children of God, because it's relevant for us for victorious living, and it will empower us as people of God when we know how to contextualize it for our today's living. And what you do is recognize that when the enemy is fighting you and things, you know, don't be quick to wrath. Don't be quick to speak. Just say, God, where is this coming from? I give it over to you in Jesus' name, and I bind the devil in Jesus' name and rebuke the adversary. Because, you know, there was another thing that God given me. He said, Helen, sometimes people don't realize that they are, we talk a lot about domestic violence and things, but you know what God told me? He said, Helen, there's spiritual violence too, just like domestic violence. People who are innocently pounded on by the enemy and don't know that they're being abused by the enemy and things, or used by the enemy to attack somebody else. And that's what he showed me as spiritual violence and things, just like domestic violence. And so the enemy is abusing that backslider. He's abusing that one that don't know God. He's using and attacking them to try to attack and get at you. So that's when the enemy abusing them, and they don't even know that they are victims of spiritual violence and things. And so we as children of God, in the revelatory knowledge of God, we pray for them. That's why the Bible said, pray for them that despitefully use you and speak all manner of evil against you. Pray, ask God to help them, to deliver them out of the hand and the clutches and bowels of the adversary, so that they can recognize who really is the perpetrator behind this whole mess. And things, and that's what we need to pray. Lord, take the scale off their eye so boo-boo can see what's really going on. It's not me, but it's the adversary that's using him and abusing them and things, and they don't even realize it and things. And so we must pray as never before for unsaved loved ones. Pray for them that are sitting in dark places and things and thinking that they have the light. Remember, the Bible said in the last day there will be lovers of themselves. And he went on to say also in the last day that because they didn't retain God in their knowledge, God gave them up. To believe, gave them up for a reprobate mind and gave them up and allowed them to believe the lie and be damned. So we as children of God, we must guard that truth, that place of truth, stay in that place of truth, and not allow the adversary to pull you up out of that place of truth. And see, it's our safety. It's our place where God wants to abode and abide with us in that place. So guess what? That's why the Bible said, you know, it took me a while to really to grasp a hold to this particular concept of the principle of the Bible. God said for the wife to study to show us, study to be quiet in things. Well, you know, for us to be study to be quiet in things. And so, and I kind of like, wait a minute, that don't seem fair and things. But you know why? Because God said, now, if you study to be quiet, then you know how to war against the adversary. But if you putting your two-piece in there, and if you give them a piece of your gray matter and got your hand on your hip and your backbone is flipping and thing, you can't hear from me. How can you hear from me? And I'll tell you what to do. I'll tell you what to say. I'll tell you what weapon to use right now if you study to be quiet. And so what we have to do is to learn how to study to be quiet, because in that quietness, remember, with even Elijah, God didn't speak to him out of a storm or thunder, but it was a still small voice. And so God is speaking, but guess what? We done turned up the volume and things, and we done got into a high intense dialogue. And so, but the still small voice is saying and giving us instruction. And so once we begin to learn that, because what the adversary has, and this is what we've learned and taught so many times down throughout the years, and things that, you know, you don't have to go out like that, or they, you know, they talking to you all down, you shouldn't be having all that, allowing them to do that. But guess what? If you study to be quiet, guess what? You can be binding the devil and pleading the blood against the enemy, and God will tell you the words to say, because a soft answer turn away wrath. And so if we in the heat of the battle and things and going at each other and things, God said, wait a minute, a soft answer is going to turn away all of that wrath. The more they coming up against you, the more soft and kindness you're going to share those words, because God said a soft answer would turn away that wrath. And so many times people are just waiting, argumentative spirit, looking for somebody to argue with. But if we don't give them what you don't want to live, don't feed. If you don't want that thing to live, don't feed it and things. Don't let it in and things. And so we must recognize that. And sometimes it's hard, because sometimes what the adversary used, the thing, what they call a familiar spirit, someone very familiar with you and things that knows you, and you come in that place or in their presence thinking, oh, I'm letting my guards down. I don't have to have my armor on, you know, and things like that. I can kind of sit back and chill, but you got to watch out. And things. The adversary is subtle. He don't care who he attacks. He don't care who he use. So we have to be vigilant, you know. We got to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove, and things like that. And when you begin to practice that, that's why you say study. Okay, when do I have to be, Lord? So you studying and things. Now, do I need to be quiet now? You studying. You learning of yourself. And that's the key, is learning of yourself. You know the buttons that the enemy know every one of our buttons. And then he'll get on our spiritual dashboard and begin to start pushing buttons. So what we have to do, and that's why I thank God for becoming more self-aware and taking dominion over ourselves. A lot of times people want to take dominion. They talk about taking dominion over this world. Hey, we better learn how to take dominion over ourselves first before we gain and conquer the world. We must recognize what things turn us off, what flip us out, what pushes your button. And thing. It could be the way they say something, the way they walk. It could be, you know, when they come and attack you. You've got to recognize that. So when the adversary come up against you, you're going to say, oh, I got you now, devil. You ain't going to get me on that one, because guess what? I'm two steps ahead of you. Ha, 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 ha. And you can laugh at the devil in his face. And see, because guess what? You have conquered yourself and conquered your words that come out of your mouth and when to bring them out. And think, because some things are best not to be said at a certain moment in time. And think it's best to write it down on a piece of paper and come back to it a little later and things, and dialogue a little later and things. But it comes through training. It comes through knowing ourselves. And that is a key place that we must recognize. I see our time is, this is some good stuff. Our time is going quickly and fastly away. But I want you to be blessed, children of God, and know that God is there to do it. And I look forward for us to getting back together and teaching some more on this, because I believe that God wants to bless us. Because guess what? We have the victory. The thing is how to assess and get that victory is kind of key sometimes and things forward. So as we leave, I want you to be blessed. I want you to go ahead and allow the Lord to bless you in a mighty way. Remember, giving them a cup of cold cup of water. The Bible said in doing so, you heap coals of fire upon your head. So sometimes you need to just go on and get a cup of water and give them a nice cup of water, nice meal, and watch God bless you through that meal. May God richly bless you, my child of God, and may God keep you as never before. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, I know we stopped streaming, but I'm not for sure if you can hear me. Okay. Thank you very much. I just wanted to make sure if people could hear me or not. I know we are not streaming at this particular time, but if there's questions, if anybody want to put a question up on the web chat, we can entertain those questions at this particular time and things and continue